Hey everyone, thanks for coming on to the J-Ham Special, where I love to talk about some of the nerdy things in my life, like Magic the Gathering, Dungeons & Dragons, Warhammer 40k, and all kinds of other different things. So, with this episode, we're going to start a little bit with the story time. Now, you are playing Dungeons & Dragons. Maybe you've just started, or maybe you've been playing for quite some time as a player in your friend's campaign. They finally come up to you, your friend's been the Dungeon Master, DM, for quite some time, and they say, you know what, I love getting to hang out with you guys, I love getting to play this game, but I'm just getting real tired of having to run the show, and sometimes I just want to sit back, relax, and maybe play the game a little bit there. From that, you probably are focusing on a couple different things. Either A, you're thinking, man, this is the end of it, I'm going to have to find somebody new, or you're one of those people that took initiative and said, you know what, I definitely want to go through and I want to try and get my friend a chance to play and maybe spark that interest in them again and help bring out that creativity. Maybe I'm going to become that dungeon master. Maybe I'm going to start this thing. Well, you get everything sitting down and you start looking through modules. You start looking online for videos about how to become a DM. Even you're asking your DM and they probably have some good advice for you as well too. But at this point, you're sitting here having no idea where you should start or what you should do. Well, this is what I'm going to kind of talk to you about today. In some of my older podcasts and even videos at that point there, I talk a little bit about going through and developing your story or maybe even doing a one-shot campaign there. But a lot of times, it's kind of hard for somebody to start off from there. And so what I highly recommend doing, and what a lot of people enjoy doing, and me personally, I really enjoy, is to start off with your main kind of setting point. And this is either a hamlet, a village, or a town. So with this podcast today, I'm going to talk to you about the reasons why starting off with a village, hamlet, or a town is probably one of the best ways to go about starting your D&D campaign and running as a DM. Now the reason why I say start off with a village, hamlet, or town, get your settings straight first, is many DMs, and especially new aspiring DMs, usually fall into getting into these grandiose plot points that their players may or may not ever hit. Myself, I ran into that pitfall whenever I began DMing, and I focused on, okay, well, what are going to be the narratives of the story? And I tried fitting way too many pieces into the world, or trying to make the world essentially work towards my pieces of my plot. And that didn't quite work out as well as I thought it would. Now, many times I also ran into the issue of trying to go through and put the cart before the horse, more or less. And I would figure out who my villain was. I would figure out who it was that my players are going against. I would figure out, oh, here are the deities of the land. And here are the specific weapons and items that are sold in D&D. And I gotta tell you this much, if you're just starting off, if you've never DM'd before, maybe you are a DM and you just want to try something a bit more simple, you can be a little lazy, but you still have to be a little prepared. I've taken a lot of encouragement from Jim Murphy as far as his minimalist dungeon master design, where I personally use index cards to put everything on there. And I made a YouTube video myself. If you look me up, The Real J Ham or John Hammond on YouTube, you may find the video itself there, and I'll probably put the link in the description on this. But when you go through, you want to start off with your village, because this is going to help you out with the world building all in all. It's going to help you figure out what your players are going to get accustomed to, what they're going to figure out, and it's going to help you develop a setting. The reason why I say go this route instead of going more along the module path is because when you are playing and you're homebrewing your world, you know what's there, and it's easy for you to pick things out or move things around. Whereas when you're trying to go through a module, you're flipping through pages while you're in the middle of playing with your friends, and that just doesn't work. So hopefully what I'm going to do here is give you some tips and tricks as to what to do to get a kind of village started, a hamlet started, or a town started, and then we'll start progressing from there. Now this is where the nitty and gritty come to your actual village, town, or hamlet building. Now when I say village, hamlet, or town, what I'm referring to is the size of your setting, where you're at. Now a hamlet is going to be the smallest that you can find there. It may have a couple houses, may have just the bare bones, bare minimum that you need to actually start an adventure and get some kind of engaging plot hook. A village is going to be a little bit bigger. It's going to be something that has been established for a little bit longer. It has more people in it, maybe has a few extra merchants that a hamlet definitely would not have. And then a town is going to be one of your larger portions. It's not quite like a city. It's not quite like a huge castle or anything along the lines, but it has some permanent kind of locations to it. It may have homes that are not necessarily made out of wood entirely, but maybe out of stone. Maybe has some different structures put in there. More of a permanence to it as well, too, and a good growth, and maybe a good ecosystem, and also, I guess, economically, it can grow as well, too. Now, you're going to want to decide on where you're going to go there, and I highly recommend, if you're just starting off, start off with a hamlet, and then work your way to a village. And if you want to go into a town, you definitely can. But starting with a hamlet there, I'm going to tell you what you need to actually get that kind of started. And it also works with a very small village as well, too, maybe one that is kind of transitioning out. So when you hear me refer to these things, when I say hamlet, I'm talking about maybe just a few buildings that are here and there that just serve a small purpose. And a village is going to be a little bit bigger, and then a town's even bigger than that. So hopefully that helps you out as far as when I'm using that kind of terms. There are actually two different parts. Each have three pieces to it there to make the most basic hamlet or village for your setting at that point there. Now to start with, we're going to focus on kind of the buildings. Now your village or hamlet has to have some kind of governing building, or maybe like a town square or some kind of centralized location that forms the town or unifies it around it there. This is actually going to be the place, and the reason we have it there is because it is there for quest importance. Now, for instance, you can use things like a city kind of center or a village center that would happen to have like a notice board with different quests written onto it there. Kind of like similar to like if you've ever played The Witcher 3, you'll be able to look at the notice board and say, oh, well, this person needs this quest done. And when I complete it, I can go visit them to get a reward there. That's kind of what I'm meaning as far as that's kind of the bare bones. Otherwise, if you think more like Skyrim, where you have a great hall and you have a Jarl that has appointed house carls and the rest of that, that would actually, in city advisors, that would pay you for completing quests on the Jarl's behalf. And you can use things, I really like barons of like a manor at that point there. Jarls are good, kings are good. You know, whatever you feel like going through a reeve, like a representative for a hamlet, you can definitely do that. It could literally be maybe the captain of the guard at a barracks could be your main kind of city structure that would give out those quests. So you need to have some kind of government building that kind of ties the place together. That's like your main place where your players can go and definitely find a quest there if they want to. Not saying they're not going to find it other places, but this is going to be a place where they can go and usually find work. And the reason you want to do that is because it's going to give your players motivation, it helps build the world a little bit, and then set up that kind of political structure so they know who's in charge. The next place that you're going to want to look at is going to be your inn or your tavern. Now this is, or just general lodging, you know, overall. The reason you want to have the general lodging like an inn or a tavern is because this is going to give the players a place to lay their head at night. It's going to give them a place to spend their gold is the big reason, because they're going to be able to go through and say, hey, I need to get something to eat. Or maybe I want to gamble. Maybe I want to play some different card games or whatnot there. Or maybe I just want to learn information or learn more about the quest that I'm going on at that point there. And inns / taverns / just lodging places, they're definitely a great place to go. So that's your second kind of building you want to make sure you have. And then the third one is you're going to want to have some kind of merchant or general store. So if you're running a hamlet, they may not have a general store, but you can have a traveling merchant that maybe has their small little stand set up here that they tear down every night and then put back up every single morning there. That can be your merchant. And what I would highly recommend, if you're a starting DM, don't go too crazy. I tried to, as far as saying, I'm going to have random equipment charts. I'm going to have random weapon charts that you can roll on and say, oh, they had this in stock today. Don't go that route. Just keep it like a general goods or general merchant at that point there, and just utilize the player handbook or the basic rules off of D&D Beyond, or if you got the starter set from like Lost Mines of Phandelver, use that equipment or merchant or just trade goods page to help you out with your players buying what they need. Don't try to reinvent the wheel when you're going through with this. Make it easier for you. So again, just to go down off those three different points, you're going to want to have a government site, place, notice board, something along the lines that's kind of like a civic point of interest for your hamlet or village. Players can go and definitely find quests on there. Kind of make that their jump into adventure. The nice thing with a tavern, which is your other point, it's going to give them a place to lay their head and spend their money, but this can also be a place where they can learn more about the quest they're on, or maybe even find a quest or get directions. Same thing with the general goods store or merchant. They may know where you can find some loot. They may know what adventures are going on at that point there. So that's going to help your players, give them another place to sell their items. I'll give you one example. I had one of my players, Tyler, happen to collect every single wolf pelt that he could. I had a market square where they were able to go up to a trader, and I just so happened to put it up so that way he found a place where he can sell all the wolf pelts he had been collecting while they were out in the woods killing wolves. You're going to have some players like that that want to sell their goods. Give them some place that's willing to buy items off of them and also sell items to them as well. Your players are going to need potions of healing. They're going to need rope. They're going to need things for their adventure, torches, rations, you name it. Give them those three places there. Moving on from the actual like buildings or the structure at that point there, you're going to want to look at the key features of the town. Now, to make it easier, when you're looking at civilization just in general, any kind of, you know, hamlet or village or castle or city in the real world, they usually get their starting place around some kind of source of water. So you want to know what source of water is nearby for your villagers. Because the thing is, they're not going to be able to live off of just like a simple well that's dug out. I mean, they very well could. I mean, it's D&D. You can have magic. They can have well springs down below. You figure out a way that they have water to come to them. Whether or not the village is cutting through the middle of the village, or a river is going around the village, or maybe they got a pond that they're built on. They have some form of water that is close enough for them to go through and be able to bathe or wash produce or just clean things off in general. Just keep that in mind. It's going to make it feel a little bit more realistic. And the nice thing is now that river, pond, or lake can be a landmark on a much greater or larger scale when you decide to start world building. But right now, we'll keep focusing on the village itself there. Make your water source. It's going to really help out, believe me. Now, your second part you want to look at is, how do your people eat? The thing is you've got water. You've got an inner tavern, so you can always get stuff exported into you. You can import goods to sell to travelers. You can import meat or wheat or whatever there. But you probably should have some kind of food source that is around. Other than that, just say, you know, everything is just brought in by merchants. You can go that route. I've done that before as well, too, in a small little mining town in the middle of an island. But if you're going through and trying to dig it through, it makes it easy because you can go through and have like a farm that happens to raise pigs, or maybe a wheat farmer that happens to have a mill for the grain. So just think about that as well too, is that helps give a little bit more realism and again a little bit more of that world building to your hamlet or your village. And then lastly, you're going to want to make sure that you have a reason for your village to even be there. What is the point of having a civilization if there is no reason to have that society in the first place? So in some cases, it can be basic as, hey, this hamlet is a halfway point between a main capital and a port town. Or maybe you can say, hey, this village is right next to the largest forest in the entire region. So it's very well known for lumber exports. So it goes through, they chop down trees and they sell it off at different places. Or you can go through and say, hey, this town has the biggest prairies or pastures around, so they're known for having the best horses, or maybe taming a bunch of cows. Who knows? You can kind of figure that out at that point there, and how that's going to tie into the world overall, because that's going to give your players feel like, hey, you've invested a little bit of time at that point there. So again, just to recap off of what I just said, you're going to want to have kind of 6 points. There's two different parts to this. One is going to essentially be the basic structure you need for the village. It's going to be some kind of civic location that is like a notice board, or maybe a guard's barracks, maybe a great hall. It's just something that is going to be there to provide quests for the players. It's going to be an easy place for you to say, hey, go here, find quest, get reward. very easy and very easy to tie your kind of community together. Second piece is you're going to want to have an inn or a tavern or some form of lodging the players can rest their head during the adventure. Give them a safe haven inside of your location so when they come back from traveling, they have a place to kind of eat, drink, be merry, and spend their coin. Then the third place is you're going to want to make sure that you go through and have some kind of merchant or goods that they can go through and buy and sell things from. Both the lodging and the merchant can also provide quests for the players to go on. Maybe smaller side quests, but something nonetheless. These are also going to give you at least probably 3 NPCs that your players get to deal with. And that's going to help you out. And I'll be focusing on another episode about NPC building, but we're going to focus on the actual village or hamlet or town itself. Now, moving on from the buildings and kind of the society itself there, we're going to be looking at, okay, the water source. You know, how are your people actually getting water? Giving you a little bit of a realism to this fantasy setting. Whether or not you're playing Dungeons & Dragons or a different role-playing game or tabletop game, you want to have a location where it makes it a little more realistic and put a pinpoint on the map saying this location where the water is at, this is where this village is built. And that can help tie your world together. Believe me, I'll tell you more how that worked out for me. Then you're also going to want to make sure you have some way that your people can eat. Whether or not they buy all their goods from a local city, that's going to help you world building because you've got another location. But you can also have it set up to say, hey, here's another quest location, the pig farmer, the sheep farmer, the cow farmer, the wheat farmer. Any of these things there give you another place for your players to go and explore. And then finally, you're also going to want to make sure that you have a reason for the town to even be there. Whether or not that hamlet's there because the people just wanted to get away and practice maybe different religious beliefs, just like pilgrims. Or maybe they're wanting to go through and focus on something different, you know. You can definitely go that route and it'll work out for you. So when it comes down to it there, you want to focus on these different pieces to be able to provide the best experience for your players and to kind of help you out with world building. Because believe it or not, each and every one of these things that I just labeled there, they have a way that can tie into the rest of your surrounding world. Now that we finished talking about, you know, the building blocks of your village, your hamlet, or your town, we're going to take a second to hear from this episode's sponsor, and then we're going to jump back in to the final bit of finishing or fleshing out your village, hamlet, or your town. Welcome back. Now we're going to take the last little bit here to talk about filling out your village, your town, or your hamlet to make it a little bit more lifelike and also help out with the last little bit of your world building for your setting. As we touched on in the last bit there, you know, you're going to want to make sure that you have, you know, your 6 key points lined up here before you jump into this segment of the actual city or setting building. Because what this is going to do is it's going to allow you to build the world around you with this one location in itself there. Now, what you want to do is you've already got your civic or governing kind of building that ties the town together. If you chose a great hall or you chose a barracks or some kind of form of law and order for your place, you're going to want to make sure that you have somebody that is actually running the show. Now, this is where you can create an NPC like a Reeve for a hamlet. A Reeve essentially is a representative of a much larger place. So, more often than not, you'll probably find a Reeve would actually be talking to a city that's not too far away that actually offers protection to the hamlet and actually shows legitimacy to these people being together. Now, not every hamlet needs a Reeve. You can have a democratic council or an oligarchy at that point there where everybody votes, or you have the elders that kind of focus on everything there. But that's where you can figure out, okay, well, what is the structure of this here? If you just simply chose, oh, I have a notice board in this hamlet that just tells people come get the quest or whatnot there, well, then that's kind of more like anarchy. It's more along the lines where you may not have a really set structure in place, but you should probably figure out who that quest giver is that is tied specifically there, because you're going to need at least one. You can have multiple if you want as well too. But what I find usually the easiest thing to go about is you either have the captain of the guard that's hiring your party specifically, or you have a baron that is hiring the party from his great hall, or a jarl that is ordering people to go out and paying for a bounty. So utilize that main place there and jump over and flesh it out or fill it out a little bit more now that you've got the main key point put there. Now the next bit you're going to want to do is, because you've already got your tavern and you've already got your merchant, you're going to want to make sure that they have the similar backstory or at least information, or maybe even possibly a quest that they can send the player on, player or players. It works pretty well as far as if you have one person going through to make sure that they have it. But chances are, if you're going to build and you're playing with just one other person there, you're going to want to make sure that you have a place for them to meet a follower, somebody to aid them on their journeys. Because believe it or not, adventuring alone is not a very smart decision, and seldom does it actually reap any kind of reward. Rather, it usually doesn't end too well. I'd recommend having a place for your follower to go. I had one player, Matthew. He went through and he had happened to start looking for a fighter because he was a wizard, a little squishy wizard that probably couldn't take very many hits. And he was playing it smart. He said, you know what, I'm going to need somebody that can actually take some hits, you know, somebody who can go into the front lines while I'm supporting him with magic or doing what I need to do here. So you're going to want to make sure that you have some followers in town that your players can rely on, because you know, not every party is going to be perfect, and some parties are going to probably need somebody. A party might need a tracker, that they're willing to hire somebody that can actually go through and track down creatures or animals, or have high enough perception to locate traps in a dungeon. They may want to find a paladin that's a tank, or maybe a fighter that can hold the front line, similar to what Matthew did. But the other options that you have as well, too, is, you know, looking at some of the other buildings. Or maybe even not followers, but NPCs that'll be happy to help the players out. Utilize them to help flesh out your world. And I'll tell you a little bit about the ways that I look at it there. Your village has essentially just three main key locations that they can go and get quests and meet people. You're going to want to fill the town out a little bit so they have the opportunity to meet more. I highly recommend, I'm going to give you a little bit of a list here, but I highly recommend getting at least maybe anywhere from 2 to 3 to 4 of these locations for a basic village. A hamlet, maybe like one. But these are kind of like specialty merchants or shops or people that can help out your players in a pinch. And these people can be quest givers as well. They can also just be people to be there to help out your party. Maybe if your party gets well known or your player gets well known around the area, maybe these NPCs are willing to do special favors or help them out. This can be anything as simple as like a baker that can go through. Maybe they send the party on quest to go get a special egg in the that can only be found in the forest from some kind of special bird in the area. If that's the case, well, guess what? You've got a quest right there for your players, and you got somebody that can pay them and then help them out with the sandboxy kind of environment to allow them to go and search out these different quests. So if you don't want them to have to follow your main quest, but maybe get them a chance to just get a taste of D&D, do something small, go ahead and throw in like a baker or a blacksmith. This is somebody that you can utilize to say, hey, my players want specialty weapons and armor. Well, there you go, put a blacksmith in your place there. And guess what they're going to be able to do? Your players can order specially crafted weapons and armors. Maybe you give a sword that's a +1 sword, or maybe a +2 sword, or maybe a sword that can actually catch things on fire. Who knows? It's your choice as far as how far on magic items and stuff you want to be able to give your players. But that blacksmith, again, could be another quest giver and another NPC that can help the players out in time. Same thing with like an herbalist or an alchemist, somebody who needs ingredients for their potions. Send the players on a fetch quest to go get those ingredients, and guess what? You might get returned with potions of healing, which usually cost about 50 gold pieces. And maybe you get a free one or something like that. So a party that doesn't have a healer will probably get to know your herbalist or your alchemist very quickly. So that's just kind of a quick list at that point there. Again, you can look at barracks, you can look at jails, you can look at craftsmen or carpenters, or maybe people that are just mirror makers or jewelers or things along those lines that may not necessarily want to go out adventuring, but are willing to hire a party member to do so. And that's going to help you out with your world building and the fact that it makes it feel like this world is lived in and that there's actually people. I'm going to go into maybe a probably a different episode, just explaining, you know, different characteristics that you use for your NPCs to make them seem a little bit more fleshed out, more of a round character rather than just a flat or static character at that point there. But I just want you to keep that in mind, is when you're building a village, you don't want to over encumber yourself. You want to make sure that you have a few things in there. Make sure you have the basic three buildings, the basic three key features, and then maybe you can throw a different key feature or trait to the city. Maybe a law that says, oh, magic is completely forbidden. Anybody casting magic will be fined or sent to prison. Well, there you go. That's a notable feature that sets your town apart, and it's easy for you to remember. Or maybe this town is well known for their baker that bakes delicious donuts, you know, or donut pastries, whatever you feel like going there. And that's going to drive your players to say, hey, this is something unique about my village there. And that'll help out, so whenever you do get it set up so the players are going to visit other locations, they're not feeling like they're visiting the same village over and over again. Instead, you're giving an opportunity to have it a little bit more fleshed out or filled out of your village, your hamlet, or your city. And again, hamlets being smaller, they might just have one extra feature, one extra building or whatnot outside of the main basic three. But again, I highly recommend start off with a hamlet, move up to a village, and move up to a town if you get the chance. But you don't need a lot to start off as a DM. But starting with the setting, that's going to set you up for the best chance of success. And that's when you can start working on, hey, I've got my basic hamlet. Let's work on building some quests for this specific place here. So hopefully that was helpful for you guys. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, feel free to hit me up on Twitter or Reddit, YouTube, any of the rest of these different places, any social media platform really that I'm at, which is The Real J Ham. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you want to call in, I'd be happy to put you on the show as well too. But thanks so much, and have a great rest of your day, and good luck DMing.